still doing NPR voice?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely doing my NPR voice. I almost auditioned. NPR like did a call here, WAMU did, for people who wanted to be the new, like, NPR is sponsored by, and I was like, ooh, but you actually had to have experience with that. So, hello, Seattle. This is Laurel.
And this is Ryan.
Welcome to Brainiacs. We are a Frasier podcast made up of two people who are watching Frasier episode by episode, but the twist is I've seen the entire series before, while Ryan has not.
I've seen one episode. We remembered last session.
It was the episode that was all about Cheers.
Yes.
So.
And I don't remember anything other than the scene where they go to see who I keep calling Norm, but I mean to say Cliff. Yeah. So this is session two, and today we will be attempting to discuss episode two and episode three. Although we have been doing some tangents. I hope you guys like tangents if you're into the show. If not, just listen anyway. If not, give us a 5-star review.
Just deal with it. Just deal with it. It's like the friend you have that gets a little long-winded sometimes. You love them anyway. So.
Exactly. So we were just having a conversation about when I was getting made fun of for picking up gardening things this morning from Laurel here.
You know, we just live very different lives, I think. like, I'm going to yoga a little later and then, like, to Sephora to, exchange something. So.
Do you guys have, well, you don't have a breweries in DC, but do you ever do brewery yoga?
Like beer and yoga? No. Some of the brew houses here do events like that, but I'm actually, not to be like, I'm a serious yoga person, but like, I find yoga very boring but necessary, so I actually want to go and do yoga. Like, I don't want to just kind of go and like do some sun salutations and then have a beer. Like, if I'm gonna do yoga, I'm gonna do yoga.
I did yoga we used to do it in our apartment back in Maryland. It was mostly just like, oh, this feels good to stretch out. Like, I never did anything too serious, but I would never do it in a group because I have a real fear of flatulence issues.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, yep.
But
it's also so quiet in the room.
Yeah, exactly. It'd just be like, I feel like everyone could be like, I know there's the one large guy whose gut is hanging out of his shirt. I bet it was him. I'm like, oh, it wasn't me. So just to dive right into episode two, I have an extremely important question to you. It's in all caps on my tossed salad and scrambled notes here. Why do people put eggshell in coffee?
To quote the West Wing Weekly, I bumped on that too. I didn't write it down. Actually, maybe I did. No, I didn't. But I remember that being a thing in the 90s. And
what does
it do? Almost put weird things like almost like composty type things in your coffee.
I thought you did it after you used your coffee because coffee was great for compost. I'm looking it up. Eggshell.
Okay, you hit the Google on that. I do like that he said, you know, oh, something about, but what happened to my like fair trade dark roast from Starbucks? And I'm sure back then it was like, ooh, Starbucks.
Does he
and
say
now,
Starbucks?
You know, someone, he does.
I didn't even pick that up.
He did, because of Starbucks founded in Seattle. And I think so it was probably very bougie at the time. And now I feel like everybody universally thinks that Starbucks coffee is trash and it's by no means the most expensive that you buy at the store anymore or anything. So
eggshells are alkaline, while coffee is acidic. When added to coffee, the eggshells remove much of the bitterness and mellow out the flavor. Eggshells are also used in making campfire coffee, boiling loose grounds in a pot of water, because the shells help keep the grounds in the bottom of the pot. Fascinating.
So,
thank you, livestrong.com.
Do you grind up the eggshells and like sprinkle them in with the grounds, or are you putting chunks of eggshell in? Like, I need some, I don't
understand. I think
you
put them in with the grounds. I think when you're just trying to mellow out the flavor, you're just putting them in with the grounds.
Okay.
And the allspice must add, because it's eggshells and allspice is what she adds, right? So it must kind of give it this other flavor. But the eggshells also keep the grounds at the bottom. So if you're just boiling it all in just one pot, like I said,
got it. That makes sense.
I'm a home brewer myself, so there's stuff we have that kind of keeps the sediment, gelatin and stuff that'll help when you cold crash beer, which is when you take it and you make it really cold and all the sediment floats to the bottom, and then you put a gelatin in so it kind of solidifies at the bottom and you pour the beer out which you want. So this is probably a similar thing. Little home brewing info for you there.
Have you tried home brewing in your Instant Pot? Because I saw an article about that this week.
Okay, you're talking about the wine thing?
No, I saw one for homebrewing and one for wine.
Here's the thing. So they're like, it's real easy. All you need is an Instant Pot. And then you read the instruction. It's like, and then you need to put it somewhere and let it ferment. I'm like, oh, so I need a fermenting bucket. And then you need to put it in bottles. Okay, so I need the bottles. And I'm like, you're already halfway there to making beer. Why not just spend a little extra money to do it, to get the actual piece of equipment that works, which you can use as like a pot that you could use for like other stuff. It's hilarious to me. I was like, you can make wine in your Instant Pot. And I told a friend this on Facebook. I go, listen, if you're to the point where you have to brew Welch's grape juice level wine, like, I'm willing to fund your GoFundMe. Like, I will give you money so you can go buy some cheap wine.
Yeah, or everyone, like Rex Goliath, which, by the way, Rex Goliath, if you'd like to sponsor us, it's really good wine, and it's always $5 or $6 at Target, and I don't understand why.
Goliath?
I mean, I'm happy that it is not cheap. It's got a rooster on it. I like their Malbec. I like their Pinot Noir. Like, just go, people. You'll save yourself a lot of headache and time and money. Just go buy some Rex Goliath.
First of all, two things. Rex Goliath is 100% my pro wrestling name now. And two, I have been drinking a lot of red wine lately because I'm on a diet and it only lets me do like red wine instead of like beer and stuff, which I catch up on beer on the weekends. I got my cheat day. But
yeah, are you drinking your milkshake that you planned?
Oh no, I just have water now. I did go get some donuts this morning. I'm on like, this is like my fourth cheat day, so like by the time you get your fourth cheat day, you're not like, you know, hungry hippos about it anymore. you're a little more like You're a little more like, oh, you know, it's nice to have sweet things. I think that's the thing I told you is I miss sweet. Like now today, yeah. I've got some dehydrated mango that's real good. But like during the week, it's like the sweetest thing I can have is peanut butter. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I will say that is one thing. I kind of dabble in keto, which is very high fat, very low carb. And that is the only thing that has helped me kick my sweet tooth. I have an insatiable sweet tooth. And that is the only thing that has helped me not constantly crave sweet things.
The peanut butter or
having very low carb and very high fat because I'm constantly full and satisfied, but like not.
Yeah, I've been finding that too, is like with nuts and stuff, it really helps. Like I just have a handful of nuts and kind of sit for a while, and I used to as to where I used to be like Fritos, like now I've replaced
or 100% dark chocolate, which is not at all sweet. It tastes like coffee that was burned, but I love it.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, so anyway, that's Laurel and Ryan talking about what eating habits they're focusing on right now. So please come join us on Twitter and tell us what you're eating. So anyway, back to this episode. I'm pulling out my notes.
Well, this is also, I think we talked about in the last one, speaking of wine, is the one where I'm jumping ahead, but one of my favorite spots in the whole thing is when Daphne gets on him about how he gets home. The whole purpose of this episode is Fraser's starting to feel like the house is getting full and he's got nowhere where he can go and be alone and have a nice quiet moment. Correct? That's most of it. I watched this one a while ago. Yeah. And
I would say this episode is also just like more world building. Like you meet more of his coworkers at the radio station and you really see how much of a fish out of water he is.
This is the one with the Bulldog sports guy.
Yes, so we meet Bulldog, who is the sports DJ, and I feel like these types of radio shows don't exist anymore except for like the very, very well-known like people on like ESPN radio, where he's just like a sports like blowhard kind of and has sound effects and all of these different things.
I think you'd be surprised. Opposite. It sounds to me like The Ticket.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, like I used to listen to The Ticket a lot. Shout out to KTCK 1310 AM in Dallas, Texas.
Hey.
It's another little weird shout out we do.
Sponsor us.
Yeah, well, they've got enough radio shows to sponsor. I don't know. It just seems kind of, I think there's a lot of that kind of drive time sports stuff. I would say it seems to me like a world you might be a little blind to, but like I kind of, as a medium sports fan, high pro wrestling fan, that kind of like lifestyle kind of makes its way into my worldview every once in a while. And
like, true confession, I for the longest time thought all of your tweets about pro wrestling were jokes.
Just like I didn't really like it and I was making joke that I liked it.
Or that you were just making stuff up. Like when you, I don't know, for, let's oh. say you were upset that some person like some pro wrestler didn't win something or did or whatever. I thought it was like fake anger.
I thought you mean like a fake name and stuff like that. No. No, I love it. And that's a whole other podcast, and you do not want to get me on this tangent because I could talk. There's a great, so there's an Uprox does a section on pro wrestling, and one of their regular articles is called The Pro Wrestling Episode, and it's like the pro wrestling episode of Family Matters, the pro wrestling episode of Married with Children, like, and it does the pro wrestling episode of some show. And I'm going to make, this is one of Ryan's Fraser predictions right now, I'm going to predict there are zero pro wrestling episodes in Fraser.
Okay, let me just write this down.
But there will not be a pro.
If... I've got to start a whole Google Doc of like Ryan's predictions.
But I have a feeling they will not. I do not see. I think that would be an excellent, unless Martin takes him to a match. But I don't see that happening. But anyway, yes, no, I'm a very big pro wrestling fan. But yeah, this guy seems like a lot of some sports guys I've heard, and it's probably a little toned down because I think people make fun of that whole like a Wooga horn and like hitting a gong and stuff like that. But it does sound like Ira and the Douche from
yes, Parks and Rec. That's exactly what I was going to say. It reminds me a lot of that, which I also can't really relate to, but...
Is this the one where he makes Roz do the cheer before they start the show?
No, that is... That's a problem. We've watched too many episodes right before we record. podcast problems. Yeah, but I mean, we meet Bulldog, who I just... I really can't see that actor in anything else, which is not in a whole lot else, but anytime he has a bit part in something, I can't take him seriously as anyone.
Oh, because Bulldog. He reminds you of this character?
Well, yeah, well, just, it's like, kind of like if I see, I don't know if anybody has seen the movie Primal Fear, but John Mahoney, who plays Martin, is a villain in Primal Fear, and I, like, can't wrap my head around him being a bad person.
Is he a bad guy in that movie? I don't remember him in that movie.
Yes, because I think it doesn't... Yes, let's just say yes. We don't want to get off a tangent.
Yeah, Primal Fear is great. Everyone goes, it's an Ed Norton movie, right?
Yeah, Ed Norton. Ed Norton's like one of his first movies.
And I think it's his first role in anything. Richard Gere. Yeah. John Mahoney, also the dad from Stereo Above the Head movie. I can't remember the name of.
Yes, Say Anything.
Thank you.
Yes.
Because he has the breakdown where he's in the bathroom.
Yes. Oh, God. I've only seen that movie once. I actually didn't really care for it. But yeah. And doesn't he end up going to jail? Oop, spoiler.
I think that's the reason he's embezzled or something like that.
Yeah.
But speaking of...
He was also in one of my favorite movies, Dan in Real Life, where he plays, you guessed it, the dad.
Dan in Real Life. Is that the Steve Carell one?
Yes. I love...
Mixing that up with Lars and the Real Girl, which is a completely different movie.
Very different movie. Also charming. Yeah. But... No, I love movies that have large families and like large families coming together around a holiday or for a weekend or something. And that's what Dan in Real Life is. Yeah. So he's the dad in that. It plays pretty much almost the exact same character he does in Frasier. So,
well, speaking of kind of dark stuff with characters, this is the one where like we might want to talk about this. I don't know. I'm going to jump ahead because we're trying to get, I guess, more episodes in one thing. But this is the one where Frasier admits to having contemplated suicide. Which I know we were joking in session zero about, like, Frasier being dark near the end. This is pretty dark, like, him opening up to his dad.
Yeah. God, why don't I remember that? What is it?
This is the one where at the end, so the whole point of the episode is he's having a hard time connecting with his dad. So at the end he says, like, let's share something. And he says, one time when things were dark with the divorce, I went out on the ledge and I thought about jumping.
Oh, God.
And then he comes back with, something like Martin comes back with, one time something flew in my eye and I got real scared, or something like that. And it ends with them having a real sweet moment where he, you know, I loved this moment for the second part because they connect a little bit. He says, you want to have a beer? And Frasier's like, I don't think you've ever said you want to have a beer with me. Dad, I'd love to have a beer with you. And then Martin goes, well, you better haul ass because the store closes in 10 minutes.
Yeah. I like the like tiptoeing into like male emotion, men talking about their feelings that this show does. I actually feel like that's still very relevant today.
Oh yeah, I think that's hugely relevant today. I mean, as I know you wanted to hear the white male perspective here, but let me tell you,
I can't wait.
No, I just I agree with that whole thing. I think a lot of times it's funny that I don't necessarily. At least at this point in my life, don't feel like I have a hard time expressing my emotions, but I do get that sometimes. Like, I have things where I'm like, I can't do this because I'm a dude and I can't let people. I used to really have a hard time with a girlfriend or, you know, at this point, a wife handing me my, or the wife, there's not more than one, handing me like a person.
That's another podcast.
Handing me a person, being like, hold this while they're shopping. And I was like, no one can see me with a purse. And it's like, who gives a shit? Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Bleep. We are only having Frasier allocated curse words, so that one is out.
Yes. I think this is the third episode, and that's the first time either of us has sworn, so...
And I have a sailor's mouth.
I dabble in sailor talk occasionally. I found that, like, refreshing. It's another thing that stuck out to me now that I'm older and more in tune with, like, emotions and psychology and everything. I just found that, like, refreshing, nice, and honestly something I feel like I also deal with, especially when you become the adult child of adults.
Yeah.
You know, and you can talk as peers about problems and things like that. Oh, that must be nice. I didn't say I'm successful. It's something I am working on.
Well, you're also it might be a similar thing as your only child. No, I get infantilized quite a bit. I mean, it's getting a lot better, and I've done a lot of work these last few years with my parents since moving back closer to them. But yeah, I don't have that talking as peer things nearly as much.
It comes and goes, and I'm certainly better. There's one parent that we are much better at it than another, but it's something that I also feel like, and this is also jumping ahead a little bit. Actually, it might be jumping ahead to an episode that let me scroll down in my notes. Yeah, it's sort of been jumping ahead a little too far. It's something that I remember when I was younger, just kind of being like, well, of course they're going to like talk about these things. And I guess just realizing how hard some of these topics are for them to discuss up here, especially with Martin's generation and him being a cop and obviously just not being as close to his sons as his wife was. So
it's also funny. Like the best part about that scene is it doesn't turn to like Frasier rolling his eyes and we're back to square one. Like it doesn't, when he says, you better haul ass, the store closes, Martin's got a little like smirk and Frasier's like, oh yes, right. Like it's never, oh, like this didn't work. It's, oh, I do have to do that. You know what I'm saying? There's not a repositioning to square one. It definitely feels like advancement in their relationship. And I like that about that. It also kind of puts it back. It is like, hey, let's be on the same footing for just a moment, like father and son. But at the end of the day, we're still father and son. Go do this thing I told you to do. Another thing I really liked about this episode, I like the scene where she's doing the underwear because I think there's going to be a lot of this where Frasier's like, don't do that. This is how I do things. And he's like, oh, this is actually very, like, he touches it and is like, I've never had them this soft.
Yeah, no, I know exactly. I just want fluffing his knickers. Yes.
Yeah.
One thing that I actually loved about that whole scene is that that's also the first scene where Niles meets Daphne.
It is. I forgot about that.
It's just enamored by her from the get-go, which it's honestly, I love the range of David Hyde Pierce, just the way he's able to be stuffy Niles, but also just like a lovesick puppy. And that they have this whole interaction, everything over Frasier's underwear. Like at one point, Niles is holding a pair of Frasier's underwear.
Right, yeah. Put those away. Do you mind?
And yeah, I thought that was... But I had this thought though, who would have done Frasier's laundry if Daphne wasn't doing it? Was he doing his own laundry? Who would have cooked dinner? Like Daphne makes some dinner. I was like, who was going to like keep this house running?
He 100% had all that stuff, but just ordered stuff all the time. He is definitely the kind of guy who has a creme brulee torch, but has never used it.
Yeah, that's true.
That is another shout out to my sister. You know what I'm talking about. I got her a creme brulee torch for her wedding when I was 17. I saved money, did it, and it was years before she used that thing. And I still hold a grudge because I am a tiny, tiny man.
But you know, clearly you're working through it. So.
No, the other day she said, I think it was a year or two ago, she sent me a picture of like, look, I used it. It was like, you've been married for how long?
I feel like I would use it to roast marshmallows.
That's not a bad idea. I think in my family, we used to always turn on the gas stove and do that indoors.
Yes.
Did you ever do that?
Yes. Well, I did. I grew up with electric stove. So it wasn't until I actually moved to DC that I started using gas stoves. And obviously for the first like month, just leaked gas and wondered why my stove wasn't lighting.
It's amazing. This one was pretty straightforward. I really like this episode a lot. Is there anything you wanted to come up before we try it? We move on to dinner at 8.
So we've actually moved into dinner at 8 because that is where the underwear scene is.
Oh, we did? That's in that one?
Yes. But there is one thing about...
The underwear scene's in this one.
No, I watched the underwear scene this morning and I started with episode 3 this morning.
Oh. Well, this was the one where Frasier's walking around and the... 2 is when he's walking around in the robe and Daphne says, six more weeks of winter, I see. Which really... There's like a lot of good lines in this one. I like that one. I like the one where he's getting a glass of wine and he's singing to himself and he's like, use the cuspidor. What do you think it's for? Like that really made me laugh. That's the one problem with watching this at lunch is I'm just like laughing to myself at lunch at my desk and everyone's like, I think there's a little bit, some people are working during lunch. They're like, what's this guy doing? I'm like, I'm taking a 30-minute break. Get over it.
Yeah, you're like, I'm taking a mental health break, literally, and watching Frasier. Yeah, I also enjoyed Martin's like, hey, we got a lady around here. Like, why don't you, like, close the barn door?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I do have to say, like, they are, like, even though it's a big apartment, they're basically living on top of each other. I remember when I mentioned in a previous episode, I had a male roommate, and we were already friends when we started living together, but at one point, he was like, I'm really worried. I think it's probably gonna happen, like, at some point, one of us is gonna see the other naked. And he's like, I'm just really living in fear of this.
Did it happen, or are we gonna let that?
It never did. We had a few close calls, but no, it never did. So
when I moved in with Tara, I mean, like, I would come out of the bathroom in underwear. Like, I don't know why. Like, this is obviously my wife, and we had a relationship, but like, there's a difference between like being naked and intimate with someone and like just walking around naked. I feel like that's way more like just it feels off. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it can feel weird to just be like in a state of undress for no reason.
I don't like like this may be a little bit too much of an insight of me. I don't like just walking around naked. Like if like there's people who like, I mean, on their own and stuff, I guess would walk around, are okay with nudity if no one else is around. But like, I'm always like, I got to put on some boxer briefs. Like, I don't mind past then I could just lay in bed and read or something like that. But like, I am like, I have to have something. This is weird otherwise.
Yeah. I'm not a big, sleep naked person.
Nope. Well, I also have my insulin pump. So I have to have something with pockets at all times, or else it's, looks like I have a tail.
One thing we do need to talk about, and I think you already know the answer for this one as well, but the celebrity caller.
This is the one with Christopher Reeve. I know this sounds boring right now because these are the two I know, but this is the one with Christopher Reeve?
Yes.
Okay, so Superman calls in.
Yes.
And I forgot what he was talking about.
I forgot as well. We're really good at taking notes. So I'll make sure to do that moving forward. We take more
He's
notes.
He's like, hi, I'm trying to find out where Lex Luthor's secret cave is. Could you help me?
But this is one of those times where I was like, oh, Christopher Reeve. And I got a little like...
A little bit too. I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
Yeah. And then this is where my mind goes. Then I thought about Robin Williams because they were roommates at Juilliard.
Laurel, you're killing me.
I know. But then I thought about actually something really funny when Christopher Reeve had his horseback riding accident and he was like in the hospital, you know, quadriplegic. Mm-hmm. I promise this gets better. Robin Williams visited him. They were friends. Yeah. And from the moment he walked in, was doing a bit and acted like he was a proctologist there to give Christopher Reeve like an exam.
Wasn't it a Russian proctologist or something?
Yeah, exactly something like that. And Christopher Reeve said he had like, that was the first moment where he actually decided he wanted to live. That it was just like, it was really funny. And it just like, okay, it took a turn. Sorry.
That's good. We watched The Birdcage the other day with him and we're about halfway through. We both remembered that Robin Williams was at past.
Yeah.
It was not good. We were like, oh, like it was a very funny part. We're both like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, I promise Frasier does not get like that with John Mahoney, but.
So dinner at 8.
Yes, dinner at 8.
Is a little bit of why I started watching Frasier, because John Mahoney passed and my friend Shane posted his kind of monologue in the middle where he's kind of dressing down the boys for poo-pooing blue collar culture. I don't even know if that's a good way to put it, but I watched that and I was like, I gotta watch this show. And then I couldn't find like a YouTube video, so I just threw on Netflix and I watched it from when they walk into the timber mill. And it's a really good, you know, it was a good comedic scene, and then it was a really funny monologue.
Yeah, I think I think this episode is really strong, and it's one of these episodes where I remember the timber mill scene, but I couldn't remember where in the Frasier, you know, catalog it fell. And I feel like it's one where you learn. This is one of those episodes that makes me really curious about their mother, kind of like what type of person she is, because they talk about how she's the one who took them to the ballet and everything. And that now they're all kind of like, which I feel like maybe a lot of people happens to them when one of their parents dies, is maybe didn't have a strong relationship with the living parent. And now you're kind of trying to navigate what that looks like.
Right. We're kind of cutting to the real meat of this episode, but I just loved him saying like, she was a real fancy lady, but she had she went to a ball game every once in a while. She even had a hot dog, you know, like. Yeah. I love that. I love stuff like that. Like, I don't know why that spoke to me. Like, it's not exactly like I'm like a Frasier-esque person, and having a hot dog at a ball game is like a real like dipping down into a man of the people moment for me. But like, I don't know. Like, I just love stuff like that. Like, there are things that are real simple that I find just like, I love going to a ball game and I love having a hot dog. Like, even if it's not the best thing, you know, I get the cheap hot dog and I just put a little mustard on it and I'm good to go, and the cheapest beer they got, like that's kind of stuff. Like, I don't know, it's good. I like it.
Well, I actually wrote down, I would love to go to this restaurant, the Timber Mill.
Like, okay, did you ever go to Trail Dust?
I, oh my God, I wrote down timber meal equals trail dust.
Because they cut the ties?
Yes. And would you ever wear, I remember going to a similar restaurant. It was in California with my cousins. And my uncle just kept a stash of cheap ties. And we all, us little girls, just wore ties just so they could ring the bell and cut our ties off. Because we thought it was hilarious.
So that's interesting because I went to Trail Dust a lot with my parents. It was kind of close-ish to Fort Worth, I think.
It's on 35.
Yeah. So my grandparents were in Fort Worth. So we'd meet them there for we ate there a lot. And I was a kid, I never had the steak or anything. I don't know. They had a chicken dish I probably liked. But they had that big slide.
Yes, the slide.
So I love everybody. So today's plug is for Trail Dust in, where is it? I'm going to look it up.
I need to tell you, it closed a long time ago.
No!
Yeah, that whole stretch. So Ryan and I both grew up in the Dallas area. And so we're going to have some shout outs to things in Dallas that sometimes are no longer with us. But yeah, it was this great, it was a lot like the Timber Mill, huge steakhouse restaurant. And their sign was it the I or the L of the sign was a necktie. And then they had neon scissors cutting the necktie off to really drive home how unstuffy the place was. Cause it was Dallas had a lot of fancy steakhouses and they were letting you know it was not one of those. Because, it's basically the Timber Mill.
Yeah. Similar. And I similar to the Timber Mill, if you came with a necktie, they would cut it off. Now, what I was getting at was when I was a kid and we went there, I can't remember. I have never had my tie cut there because when I was a kid and I went, my parents they liked eating there and they liked watching other. That's kind of how my family was. We like participating in something, but we want to watch other people do the crazy part of it. So I never had a tie cut there. And then when we went a couple times in college because on Sunday night was all you could eat steak night, which if you can imagine what type of steak that was. Also going back to the yoga talk and speaking of flatulence, boy, that car ride back was rough. Because it's a bunch of college age boys just housing three or four steaks.
Oh God.
It was each. And it was,
yeah.
It was rough. And they had a big slide, second story to first story, but I never had my tie cut there. If there's gotta be one that does something similar around here. I would 100% go with it with a cheap tie. Just go to a Goodwill or something and get one. Yeah. I immediately was I gotta ask if Laurel's been to.
Oh yes. Yes. I kind of like how you said you like going to a ball game and having hogs. I enjoy, I'm a little bit of a foodie. I enjoy fine dining and trying out new restaurants and everything and try to not go to a lot of chains and stuff. But I also love places like this. And I'm not going to mock it. I'm going to actually enjoy it.
Do you do anything ironically? I have a real I don't like doing things ironically.
So I will say that my friends and I have a group that we've started called the Chain Restaurant Supper Club because in the Washington, D.C. area, well, in D.C. proper, we don't actually have a lot of chain restaurants. We don't have your Chili's. Mm-hmm. We have one Fridays. We used to have a Ruby Tuesdays. It closed. We had a Fuddruckers. It closed.
The Fuddruckers over on over
in Chinatown.
In Chinatown closed?
Yeah, it did. We don't have a lot of the big national chains, and we realize sometimes you just really want that. You want the Olive Garden over any pasta, and so we do actually go to chains. Every few months, we'll go out to the burbs and go to Uncle Julio's. We'll go to Olive Garden. We went to Benihana for our Christmas party.
Olive Garden, when I was there, used to be hard to find. I think the closest one was in Sterling. So since I was in Maryland, I had to go through D.C. and then into Virginia.
Yeah, there's one in Hyattsville now, and we went to that one. So we kind of do it ironically, but we also love it. So
right. I think there's a difference between it's the same thing you're talking about with me joking about pro wrestling. It's silly and it's goofy, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's high art or anything. But I legitimately like it, and I especially like it when it's goofy like that. I just have a problem with people there's a whole wrestling promotion out here that's kind of silly and mostly less about wrestling and more about comedy, and there's some people who show up and they're like, this is so stupid, and I'm like, why are you here if you think it's stupid? If you think it's funny, it's okay to think something's funny.
Well, and that's very hipster to me.
There's a lot of hipsters coming to see it,
and I have no time for that. I kind of feel in this kind of puts me firmly in a certain demographic, but I take Harry Potter very seriously. I love the books. I love the movies. I don't love all the movies, but love the books. I waited in line at midnight to buy the books as they came out, the whole nine yards. And people who kind of just dabble in the trendy part of Harry Potter or occasionally like mock it, I'm just like, no, I have no time for you. I have no room for you.
I get being self-aware about something and laughing because I realize pro wrestling is goofy, but like these are like, this is so like this guy sat next to me the whole time and kept saying this was dumb. And I had enough beers. I turned around and I'm like, I just yelled in his face. Then why are you here? If you think your time is better spent somewhere else, go there.
Yeah.
Like, don't bother me. I'm watching this. I'm enjoying the fat guy in the horse mask. Roll up the guy who owns a pizza place and only speaks in a really weird Italian accent. Do not make fun of this. He's coming off the like, top ropes. I don't want to hear you.
Well, and then I do also understand, like, whatever brings you joy. And maybe that brought, like, going there and, like, mocking it brought that guy joy. But that's, like, a bad way to get joy.
I don't like doing it at the expense of someone else. And I mean, maybe that's my own thing exactly. I got to deal with it. I'm okay with it most of the time. But this guy was real vocal about how stupid everything was. And I was like, go find something you like. I don't care that you don't like this.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew I could turn it around to pro wrestling somehow. There was also a place when I used to live in have you ever done one of those cook-your-own steakhouses?
No.
There was a place in Champaign, Illinois called Alexander's. It might still be there. Shout out to Alexander's. It was the best steak I've ever had. But it was a place where you went and there were big, huge grills. And then you got around them and everyone got a big thing of tongs and you'd cook your own steak. And I always went there and I said, can someone else cook it for me? And they're like, well, yeah, someone in the back can cook it for you. It costs an extra $2. I'm like, I want that steak cooked for me. And it was the best steak I'd ever had. Everyone always made fun of me. But I was like, if I mess up this steak, like, my dinner is ruined.
Yeah, exactly.
If that guy messes up the steak, I can send it back.
Well, and also, that's kind of why I go to a restaurant is to have somebody else cook for me. This is partly why I don't like fondue places because I feel like I spend so much time working and like, you know, cooking things. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, can't you just bring it to me already done?
It also, that place did a similar thing that they did at the Timber Mill where, you know, they wheel out all the steaks.
Yes.
They had like, they took you by, like they were taking you by the lobster tank and they had like a big freezer with a glass door you could look in, and not freezer, fridge. Oh, it was just kind of a big steak, not the best cut of meat, but they put the seasoning on it. It was the best. I had it like two or three times while I was there. I was like, it was the best. And it was like a giant steak and the whole thing cost like with like a baked potato and everything was like $20. I'm like, yes.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm just looking at my notes. I wrote down so much about the Timber Mill. I wrote down, I see nothing wrong with this place. Like as Niles and Fraser are like ragging on it, I'm like, this place seems great.
I mean, it's not like I get, but I think this is one where it puts Fraser's perspective in the wrong. Like Fraser's perspective is incorrect here, and I think that's what they learn by the end is that like you got to kind of let this stuff go. But then at the very end, you realize like they even can't do that because they're still sitting around after it's closed, picking at their food.
Yes, still chewing that steak. I also really enjoyed Niles ordering with all of his substitutions and everything, just because I feel like that was not yet a trope. And as it is now in a lot of shows of like somebody who's fussy, I feel like that was still kind of new and it was like a very endearing thing.
Right. If you, well, the best part is with three cocktail olives, it's like if you give him
three pearl onions.
Yes. If you give him two, if you give him four, he will send it back. Okay. What do you want? The same. I love Fraser always making fun of him and then doing the exact, like, and this is exactly what I want.
But at one point, Niles talks about the color pink he wants the center of his steak to be. He's like, not so much a mauve, but just...
I do that too, where I'm real bad. Like, I don't know. It's like, if I see my steak and I cut it open, I can tell you that's how I wanted it. But I'm really bad at, like, describing how I want it. Mm-hmm. So I'm always, how's your medium rare? Is it on the rare side or is it on the medium side? If they're like, it's on the rare side, I'm like, I'll have medium. Like, that's about how I do it.
I usually ask for the rare side of medium for things. So
I've just been to some places where it's like not quite as good. Do you think because we're recording this so close to lunch, that's why we're like really diving into the steak portion of this?
I like that you say it's so close to lunch. I'm like, it's almost 3 o'clock here.
Oh yeah, but... sorry. Well, I mean, it's past two. I just again, this is my cheat day. So I'm like, any minute now, I'm gonna go out and get a burger. It's gonna be great.
Wait, where do you, what, like, tell me your Austin burger place.
There's a place near us called Mooney's.
Okay.
I'm actually in, like, north of Austin, so I'm kind of in the suburbs.
Okay.
A little bit, but, like, I like, we go to Mooney's a lot. Mooney's is a good price. They've got real cheap beer. Like, beer is, like, they're always, like, happy hour all the time, $3 beers. And it's, like, nice beer, nice cans and bottles. They do, like, a burger of the month. They do a bunch of weird, they have, like, a black and blue and, like, kind of, like, a Thai one they have and... One time we went there and it was like literally like it was just everything they had on a burger. I'm like, what's going on here? They're like, someone over ordered. It was just for that month. It was like everything on the burger, just double everything and this, that, and the other. But no, I like that place. I'm trying to think of any place else I go for a burger. I mean, most of the time, if I really want a burger, I make my own. But like, if I got to go someplace, I go there. Mighty Fine's good, but Mighty Fine is kind of plain to me. A little expensive. Yeah, I don't know if you've been to that.
I like, when I used to spend a lot of time in Austin, like P. Terry's was...
P. Terry's is good.
Was good. There's a place downtown, kind of close to, well, yeah, I think it's on Dirty Sixth, called like Hutt's, which is like often considered one of the best burgers in Austin.
Is it?
Been there forever.
Does Casino El Camino do burgers?
I don't know that place, so...
Oh, that's some big new thing. I don't know if it's new, but I think it's new to me. For the record, I do want to go on the record right now as saying In-N-Out Burger is the most overrated burger of all time. Fight me on this at Craniacs at Twitter.com and Craniacs at Gmail.com.
As the more measured person on this show, I will say I think that In-N-Out is decent for a fast food burger, but I think that people who, like, I don't compare fast food burgers to, like, amazing burgers I've had at, like, real restaurants or, like, ones where it's kind of made to order. I think In-N-Out is fine. There's one right by my parents. I do go there probably, like, maybe every other time I'm home. But I'm not, like, it's a religious experience. I'm like, no, it's a decent burger.
Again, that's why I think it's the most overrated.
Yes, like, people who... I like the fries animal style. Those are, like, I like the sauce and, like, the grilled onions. I'm like, it's all decent. It's good. I'm not mad about it.
I'm a Whataburger. We're a Whataburger family. And I'm starting to think that Whataburger isn't the best burger. I really like this Mooney's place. Next time you're in Austin, we'll have to take you to Mooney's. It's good.
Yeah.
A couple of them.
I'm a little bit of a burger connoisseur, so.
It's pretty good. I think you're going to like this because it's a good burger on top of being like a real like low down, you know, a real kind of casual place. And it's not like.
Yeah.
Super fancy burger, but it's a good, they do good stuff with their burgers. Okay. All right, do we feel like we got this episode? Okay, do we do phone caller on this one?
Wait, hang on. I'm looking at my notes to make sure that there's no, oh, wait, there's something I want to talk about. Roz talking about the date she went on where she answered the guy's personal ad and she was making him sweet and sour shrimp and she asked him to hand her the honey and he froze and said he has a fear of touching anything sticky, so he couldn't hand her the honey. And I realized that this show is obviously pre-online dating because it's basically pre-internet, but Roz would kill at online dating. Like, I wish they could update this show just with, like, Roz's dating antics. Because I don't know if you online date. I know you mentioned online dating. But I don't know if you online dated a lot. I have, like, dabbled in it myself. Even just, like, the stories that I have, which I feel like none of my stories are even that crazy, are...
Well...
Yeah.
I think the difference between you and me doing it is, like, I think in general, guys, like, the worst that could happen is, like, boy, she was kind of crazy, and yours is like, I was murdered. Like, it's dating. Yes. for the sex is a little different. How much do you want to bet that story is a writer's actual story of someone they dated?
Yes.
Because that's definitely so specific.
Definitely is. Yeah. Yeah. Although also... I want to say it was like the second time she was going out with that guy. And I'm kind of like, you answered it via a personal ad. And you're like, you're letting this person know where you live, Roz. Like,
yeah. Well, it might've been obviously written by a man. So it was probably like, yeah, they just came over. No big deal. Right.
Like second date, I'm cooking him dinner. I'm like, what?
That's what I was about to say. Like, oh, I'm making him sweet and sour. Oh God, I can't even say it. Sweet and sour shrimp. I'd be like, oh, I would have married her.
Well, I remember, like, I dated some guy last year where, like, on, it was, like, maybe the fifth date, and he was like, can I cook you dinner? And I wanted to be like, can you cook? Or is that actually something you can do? Spoiler, he couldn't really, so.
Ooh, no. Do you ever see, in other sitcoms, do you ever see 30 Rock, where she was dating John Hamm for a little while?
No, I never watched 30 Rock.
So, that's a good one. But there's this whole thing where she's dating John Hamm, and he's living in what they call the bubble, which is you're so good-looking and charming that, like, no one ever tells you you're wrong. So he thinks he can do things that he can't do because no one's ever been like he's like, hey, I cooked. I put some orange Gatorade in with some salmon. And it's like, what? Like, it's just stuff like that. No, I love Roz in this one. This is the one where they do the like, what's the best? Who's got the best talk show in Seattle? We do.
Yes.
I went back and like watched that like three times in a row. It really made me watch. And my note here is, I think I may end up liking Roz the best.
I don't want to be that person who's like, you'll see later on in the series. So yes, I find Roz. And now as being closer to Roz's age and in the same like life stage as Roz. I find her very relatable.
Well, you have to let us know on the show if you run into a weird honey date.
I know.
Literal honey trap. Do you got anything else? Do we want to do the famous caller? This is one I don't know, and I have a guess.
Okay. Hang on. I'm looking at the... Okay. Oh, just... That this is like the second time I think that Maris is Miles's wife is supposed to join for something and is having another one of her episodes.
Well, I wrote that down. I was like, "Where's Maris?" Episode. Oh.
Yes, and then they're all just like, "Oh," and they're like moving on. I did love that. Was it this one where she was in the middle of getting dressed, was wearing her slip, and then sat down inside, and I knew dinner was not to be. And I just. It's also funny to me, like, Niles being a psychiatrist, that he is, you know, married to such an emotionally fragile woman.
Right.
So, but that's also probably part of the allure. Anyway, no, I don't think I have anything else for this episode.
My guess on the celebrity caller.
And she is the one who called in about her in-laws, right? Who would stop by without calling. Okay.
Is it Terry Garr?
No.
Oh, who is it?
Patty LuPone.
I don't know who that is.
You do. Did you watch Life Goes On?
No.
Okay. She's in an episode of Frasier, and I was about to say, have you seen that episode of Frasier?
Other problem is the second thing that popped up when I typed in Patty LuPone was Trump, so I'm a little worried about this person.
No, I feel like if anything, she's very anti-Trump.
She was in
Evita. So she's a Broadway actress. Italian, I guess you couldn't tell, but she's also been in, I don't know if she's necessarily been in movies, but she's been in like some TV shows. She was the mom in Life Goes On, which I like for some reason watched and I was like 5 years old.
I don't think I know who this is. She was on 30 Rock for 3 episodes.
She was a gem of she a lot like Bebe Neuwirth, has just so much talent. She's also in an episode of Frasier, a fantastic episode of Frasier later on, so we'll harken back. But actually want to talk about her problem of her in-laws stopping by without calling, because I have probably 3 or 4 friends who deal with this same problem of their in-laws.
I would deal with this problem if I lived in Plano. My parents do this to my sister all the time. My sister sent me something yesterday that was a back and forth. Oh my God, I probably shouldn't read this on the air, but I'm going to. It was a back and forth between her and my dad. And it was like, she's like, "Hey, at your house, looking at garden. Okay, ? Meaning my father had gone into her house while they were away and he was doing her garden. Because he does that. She comes home and she's got new plants.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, so she's okay, ? And she writes, "No." And he writes, "What?" And she wrote, "I just called 911. Like, and
I like that it's... But he's like helpful.
He's helpful, but it's definitely a boundary issue. It's definitely something I personally deal with a lot. But that's why they're like, "Why don't you get?" Because the video game industry is a little big in Dallas. He's like, "Why don't you move back home?" I'm like, "No, I'm good. I need a 3-hour buffer."
Yeah, I will have to say my parents. I realized they had accepted my move to DC when one of their friends said, "Oh, when do you think Laurel will move back?" And my mom said, "I don't think she will." And I was like, "Oh, woo, acceptance." But I do have to share a story about my friend. I'm not going to say her name, who had a similar issue with the boundary issues with her in-laws after she was newly married. It's a similar thing. I think her in-laws lived in Plano and she lived in Dallas with her husband. And they texted them one like Saturday morning and said, "Hey, you know, we're going to be in the area. We're having lunch down by your apartment. Okay. If we swing by." And they texted back like, "Hey, we're running a bunch of errands. So I don't really know, probably best to not plan on it, you know, whatever." And at the time my friend was bristling a little bit under her mother-in-law with like the boundary issues. So fast forward like 3 hours, my friend is home alone and the doorbell rings and she's like, "No." So, but of course it's her in-law. So my friend, my friend,
"No."
She literally just sits there.
Like, you know, that shot in Jaws where they zoom in on him and the background goes further away. That's what I imagine.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. It was like, she was tired. And she was just kind of like, no. And so she just sits there and is like, "Okay, they're just going to think my car is here, but like my husband's car isn't. So for all they know, like we're out running errands together." But then 10 minutes later, her husband comes in and she hears her husband saying like, "Mom, Dad, hi." And she's like, oh my God, they can't walk in. And I'm like, just sitting here.
Oh my God.
Not having answered the door. So she runs to the bathroom, turns on the shower, and sits in the bathroom for like 5 minutes with the shower running fully closed. And then she's looking around frantically like, oh my God, I can't be like fully clothed coming out of the bathroom having just taken a shower. And so she like grabs her bathrobe, like turns off the shower, grabs her bathrobe, like rolls up her jeans, like under her bathrobe.
This is amazing.
And then like kind of sticks her head out and is like, oh, hi, honey. I heard you talking to, oh, hi. And they're like, hey. And she's like, I'll be right out. And she said, meanwhile, her husband's staring at her because she like obviously showered that morning and like her hair and makeup is done.
That's amazing.
And then she just like tiptoes into her bedroom and like, I'm using air quotes, like gets dressed in the clothing that she was wearing under her bathroom. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I like this story is like easily 6 years old and I still like,
it's so like, good.
I can text her right now.
Right. It's so good. You're telling it. You told that wonderfully, but you're like, this isn't even my story. That's how good this story is.
I really do want to text her and be like, I still laugh over you hiding in the shower.
Oh, I love it.
I'm happy to say they get along much better now. Like everything's like, and now honestly, she has kids and loves it probably when they stop by because then they take the kids. So,
well, that seems like a pretty good place to call it quits on this episode. I don't think we get much better than that story.
And my Eddie lookalike has slept through every single episode we've recorded so far. So
okay, let's see. Anything else we want to do? Do you have any fake plugs you want to get in?
You know, actually, one thing I thought I would do is maybe share something I'm actually like enjoying in real life and like, pop culture. And I would say I just finished the season of Queer Eye on Netflix, and I did not watch it. It was on NBC, but this show is just a delight. And I think I find myself crying at the end of many episodes and tears of joy or tears of like poignancy. I just think like it's, you feel good at the end of every episode. So I just think that everybody needs to be watching Queer Eye.
Is one of the guys the hairdresser from Gay of Thrones? Do you know Gay of Thrones?
Yes, it is. Okay. I did not know Gay of Thrones until Queer Eye came out. And then people have been saying, oh my gosh, it's.
Oh yeah. Gay of Thrones is very good. That'll be my rec. I watched the first few, I guess, quote unquote, seasons of that. It was funny mostly because my wife and I do the same thing where we can't remember people's names. So we refer to them in nicknames and stuff like that. It's on YouTube. Just type in Gay of Thrones. I know the name sounds a little bit like is this making fun of homosexuality? No, it is not. It is a gay hairdresser who is trying to relate the last episode of Game of Thrones to the people whose hair he's cutting.
And this sounds amazing.
Oh yeah, it's really so. You haven't seen it yet?
No, no.
Oh yeah, he comes. He's like, girl, did you see Game of Thrones last night? And they're like, no. And he's like, all right. Christina Aguilera, who I think is what he calls Khaleesi, like he's like, yes. She comes in and he's got these names for everybody. And I was just like, this is exactly how I relate this show to people. I'm like, I can't remember anyone's name. So I have like Doghead and this guy and blah, blah, blah. Like it's really funny. It's worth checking out.
Yeah,
so those will be our recs. Just to let everybody know, if you want to get back to us, we have an email, craniacs@gmail.com. That's CRANEIACS and @craniacs on Twitter. Other than that, I think we're good to go. Laurel, thank you so much. I'm Ryan. Or how do we end this thing?
Well, we're trying to speak in unison. We're probably going to get it at some point. But you're Ryan, I'm Laurel, and we're listening.
Yeah!
Didn't work that time.
It worked.
Okay.